This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Over the weekend, Puerto Rico went to the polls to go on record whether to turn the territory into the 51st state or whether to stay a territory. When the votes were tallied on Sunday, it looked like a resounding win for statehood, roughly 97% supporting incorporation. But the main opposition parties boycotting the vote meant only 23% of registered voters actually turned out. While Governor Ricardo Rossello, a major statehood supporter, is expected to try and push ahead into the union, many are prepared to question the legitimacy of this mandate. Where does it leave the economically beleaguered island? Danica Cotto is a reporter and editor for the Associated Press based in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Clearly, the governor's pro-statehood party is claiming this as a huge win. Governor Ricardo Rossello is traveling to Washington, D.C. to present the results to Congress. And late last night, he vowed to push through the results through Congress. Many people say that it will likely not go anywhere, given that Republicans control Congress and that Puerto Rican usually leans to the Democratic Party.
So that would be the reason for opposing it, that it brings more Democrats into the electorate?
I think many believe that, yes. They would not want two senators and five additional representatives who are more likely to vote along Democratic lines. But I think others here who oppose the vote say, well, we would lose, you know, the island's cultural identity. We would lose the language. We would lose our Olympic team, our beauty queen contest. So there's a lot of sentiments flying back and forth in Puerto Rico today. And I think the headline of the local paper today best summed it up. It said everyone claims they're a winner.
But that's really the problem, that the difficulties of Puerto Rico have come from this ambiguous status. And is statehood the only way to really get at some of the serious problems that are, if you do the math, almost impossible to imagine fixing under the current situation?
I mean, I think many economists believe that the what they say is the unequal treatment from the U.S. government to Puerto Rico has contributed greatly to the economic crisis. Puerto Rico is still mired in a 10-year recession. There's a 12% unemployment rate, and almost 500,000 Puerto Ricans have fled to the U.S. mainland. So as a result of its territorial status, Puerto Rico does not pay U.S. federal income tax, but it does pay Social Security and Medicare and local taxes, but it receives less federal funding than U.S. states. So economists say that this inequality has contributed in part to the crisis.
How do people in Puerto Rico see this American federal government treatment of the island?
Those who oppose statehood say, well, whatever benefits Puerto Rico might gain in terms of getting, you know, additional federal revenues would be offset by Puerto Rico having to pay millions in federal taxes. So the opposing party has proposed more freedom for trade for Puerto Rico and, you know, more economic incentives to help offset this inequality. But I think across party lines, everybody agrees that Puerto Rico should be allowed to vote in presidential elections and should receive more federal funding, given that it pays a lot of times the same in taxes as U.S. states do.
You said a moment ago everyone's a winner, but nobody's a winner like Governor Ricardo Rossello. Does he envision his role, if things go according to plan, as the custodian leader of Puerto Rico as this transition takes place, if indeed it does?
I would think so. I mean, he ran on the pledge to hold a referendum and to make Puerto Rico the 51st state. That was his top campaign promise. And a lot of people, I believe, voted for him on that issue alone. So he's taking this win, you know, 97% of the vote for statehood. He's taking that win, what he says is a win, to Congress.
Danica Cotto is a reporter and editor for the Associated Press based in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Danica, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.